The Dark Web Files. Exposing the internet's hidden underbelly.
What if the most dangerous weapon in the world wasn't made of steel, but of data? A single file, bought and sold in the darkest corners of the internet, that can be turned into a physical object with the press of a button.
And what if it wasn't just weapons? What if it was anything? Counterfeit pharmaceuticals, untraceable car parts, patented technology, all born from an invisible blueprint.
I'm Mark.
And I'm Rachel. And this is the Invisible Blueprint, Dark Web, and the 3D printing industry.
You know, Rachel, I've always been fascinated by the promise of 3D printing. The idea that we can decentralize manufacturing, create life-saving medical devices on the spot. It feels like pure progress.
It does. I followed its use in art and design for years, and it's genuinely revolutionary. But what drew me to this story, what I can't shake, is the duality. The idea that the exact same tool for creation can be so easily and so quietly turned into a tool for chaos.
For me, it's the code. We've spent decades talking about cybersecurity in terms of protecting information, credit cards, state secrets. But we've now entered an era where the stolen data isn't just information. It's a schematic. It's a physical thing waiting to happen. The line between the digital and the physical has, well, it's basically vanished.
And that's the unexplored territory we're heading into today. We're going to look at what's actually happening on these hidden marketplaces, beyond the headlines.
Later in the show, we'll be speaking with cybersecurity experts who are on the front lines of this digital arms race. And we'll even hear from a former insider who saw firsthand how these invisible blueprints are shaping a new kind of underground market.
So the question we're asking today is, when a physical object can be created from a digital ghost, who's really in control? And what happens when that control is lost completely?
Well, that loss of control, it's not a hypothetical anymore. We saw the first major battle over it back in 2012 with Defense Distributed. The fascinating thing wasn't just that they designed a printable firearm, it was the government's reaction. They didn't go after the printers, they went after the file. They treated the digital blueprint itself as a munition, something that fell under arms trafficking regulations.
Which is an incredible precedent to set.
The idea that a string of code, a simple CAD file, is legally the same as a physical weapon.
But did it work? I mean, once that file is online, it's out. You can't put the genie back in the bottle.
You can't. And that's exactly what happened. They took it down from their official site, and within days it was all over the Pirate Bay and other file-sharing networks. The attempt to control it just highlighted the futility. It proved their point for them. The blueprint is the real weapon, and it's effectively unstoppable once released.
So the conversation gets stuck on firearms, because it's visceral. It's easy to grasp. But that feels like the tip of the iceberg. What about the less obvious applications? You mentioned GE Aviation printing parts for jet engines. That's a world of extreme precision, of life or death quality control. Where is the vulnerability there?
That's the more insidious threat, I think. The dark web market isn't for an entire jet engine. It's for a single, crucial component. Think about it. GE re-engineered a helicopter engine, taking it from 900 individual parts down to just 16 printed ones. That's a massive leap in efficiency.
Fewer points of failure, I'd imagine.
Or 16 opportunities for a catastrophic one. Imagine a schematic for a single turbine blade gets stolen. A bad actor doesn't even have to be a master engineer. They just need to introduce a tiny, undetectable flaw in the digital file, a microscopic weakness, and then sell that compromised blueprint on the dark web.
Oh, wow. So an unauthorized manufacturer, maybe in a completely different country, prints this flawed part. It looks, feels, and weighs the same as the genuine article. It would pass a visual inspection.
It would pass almost any inspection that isn't looking at the molecular level. And this part, this perfect counterfeit with a fatal secret, gets introduced into the legitimate supply chain. It could be installed on a commercial airliner.
And no one would know until that blade shears off at 30,000 feet.
Exactly. The blueprint becomes a Trojan horse. And the complexity of these supply chains you mentioned, it actually works against us. It makes it even harder to trace the origin of that single faulty part back to a digital file that was sold for a few hundred dollars in cryptocurrency.
So we're not just talking about creating dangerous objects from scratch. We're talking about subtly corrupting the very things designed to keep us safe. Pharmaceuticals, car parts. If you can print it, you can counterfeit it with a hidden flaw. The trust we have in manufacturing itself is what's at risk.
And that's the part that I can't get out of my head. It's a fundamental shift in the nature of sabotage. For centuries, if you wanted to sabotage something, you needed physical access. You needed to be the guy on the factory floor, the disgruntled mechanic. Now the saboteur could be a teenager in a different hemisphere who has never seen a jet engine in their life. All they need is a laptop and the right access.
It completely redefines the idea of an insider threat. The insider doesn't even have to be inside anymore. They just need to get their hands on the blueprint that was once inside.
Right. And the motivation changes. It's not just about causing chaos or making a political statement. This is a business model. You steal the file, you introduce a flaw, and you sell it to the lowest bidder who wants to produce counterfeit parts. The original theft might be for a few thousand dollars, but the potential damage is incalculable.
So, what's the defense? If you can't stop the file from getting out, and you can't visually inspect the finished product for these hidden flaws, where is the point of intervention? Is it even possible?
Well, that's the billion-dollar question, isn't it? The big players, the GEs, and the Boeings of the world, they're working on it. They're trying to develop a kind of digital watermark for CAD files, a cryptographic signature embedded in the code of the blueprint itself.
Like a digital fingerprint on the design.
Essentially. So the printer, a secured proprietary printer, would have to verify that signature before it even begins to create the object. If the file has been tampered with, even by a single byte, the signature breaks. The printer just refuses to print.
That sounds promising. It sounds like a lock and key system. You need the approved file and the approved printer.
It is, but it has a huge vulnerability. It only works in a closed ecosystem. It works for GE making its own parts on its own machines. What about the thousands of other companies in their supply chain? The third-party manufacturers all over the world. Are you going to force every single one of them to buy a new, proprietary, multi-million-dollar printing system?
No, of course not. The cost would be astronomical. It would cripple the industry. And you'd still have the problem of older, unsecured printers out in the wild.
Thousands of them. Millions, maybe. And what's to stop someone from hacking the printer's firmware to bypass the signature check? It's a digital arms race. For every defense they build, there's a hacker somewhere else treating it as a challenge.
So, the solution creates another problem. You secure the top of the pyramid, but the base is wider and more vulnerable than ever. It feels like you're just pushing the threat downstream.
You are. And you're also fighting against the very ethos that made 3D printing so revolutionary in the first place. Its openness, its accessibility. The whole point was to democratize manufacturing. But to secure it, you have to lock it down, centralize it again, and put it back in the hands of a few giant corporations.
It's a paradox. To keep it safe, you have to break what made it great. And even then, it's not a guarantee. It seems the only real answer is to assume that some of these compromised files will get through. That some of these flawed parts will make it into the supply chain.
Then what? That's the question that keeps me up at night. Because the answer can't be technological, not entirely. If you assume the breach is inevitable, you have to shift your entire security posture from prevention to resilience, to detection. You have to start treating the physical world with the same skepticism we treat the digital one.
So, every single component that comes into a factory, no matter how trusted the source, has to be treated as a potential threat. Like it's an email attachment from an unknown sender?
In a way, yes. It means investing in incredibly sophisticated post-production scanning. Things like neutron imaging or advanced metallurgy that can spot those microscopic, intentionally placed flaws. It means a supply chain that isn't just a list of vendors, but a cryptographically secured ledger, maybe using blockchain, where every part is tracked from its digital birth to its final installation.
But the cost of that? I mean, for a massive aerospace company, maybe.
But for a car manufacturer, a medical device company, it sounds impossibly expensive. It sounds like it would grind everything to a halt.
It would. And that's the quiet victory for the saboteurs, isn't it? Even if their flawed part is never used, the possibility that it exists forces the entire system to slow down, to become more expensive, less efficient. The threat itself becomes the weapon.
So the invisible blueprint creates a world of invisible doubt. That's the real takeaway for me. It's not just about the danger of a single faulty part. It's the corrosion of trust in the physical objects that make up our world. We've always been able to trust that a bolt is a bolt, that it will hold. Now, we can't be so sure.
And I think, for me, the thing I can't shake is the asymmetry of it all, the sheer imbalance. It takes a team of brilliant, highly paid engineers years to design one of these components. It takes immense capital to build the facilities to print them. And all of that, all of it can be undone by one person, one stolen file, and a few lines of altered code. The effort to create versus the effort to destroy has never been so skewed.
It's a chilling thought to end on, that the very progress that allows us to build things with such elegance and efficiency also creates the perfect vector to tear it all down with almost no effort at all.
It really is. The blueprint is out there, and we're all going to have to learn to live in the world it's building and unbuilding.
I want to thank our listeners for joining us on this pretty unsettling journey, and a special thanks to our experts and sources who helped shed light on this hidden world.
And I'm Mark. You've been listening to The Invisible Blueprint.
Stay safe out there, and maybe look a little closer at the things you trust.